Ah, welcome to my inn, the Carriage Rest Inn, a place where the bard has tales that spin. As our weary travelers struggle to find their role in this world divided with souls that are full. Trust, confusion, loyalty are a greater foe than any arrow sprung from a bow. Who is dark, who is light, a constant battle over who is right. Listen as we begin here at the Carriage Rest Inn.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Carriage Rest Tales. I'm your host and Dungeon Master, Mike, and to my left we have...
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Ryan, and I'll be playing Vimus, the Gnomus Vive mix.
Hybrid?
Yeah, hybrid. Cat thing. Bard. Assassin.
And hey, everybody, this is Nick, and I will be playing Vato, the half-orc barbarian.
Hey guys, it's Sam, and I'm playing Woods, the elven paladin ranger with maybe a fun little twist. Also, if we sound a little different, we've rearranged our studio currently in the house, so we are in a makeshift studio, which also, for some reason, all of the gentlemen are at one end of the table, and I feel like you guys are so far away from me.
We're at our dining room
we
table.
We just know you need your space.
We're right in the middle.
Yeah, I know, but I just feel like... You guys are, I'm this we're at a board meeting.
This is where you put my stuff.
It's true.
This is where I sit. I'm on the Dungeon Master's left.
Tonight's episode, we start off in darkness as Vaso is feeling the cover of a tent that's fallen on top of him as he's rolling around, holding his head, kind of in agony, going through a couple of different scenarios, memories, pasts. He's not quite sure. They're way overlapping, and he's having a lot of difficulty with it. You're thinking back to your life on the farm, just tilling up the land and kind of enjoying being around your dad and your friends. But then you're also having memories of constantly being on the move, not having a permanent house, just living in a tent and moving from place to place, avoiding the migrations of the Denoa. But then you remember you didn't really have many experiences with Denoa. Amberton's very mellow, has got the Order of Light to take care of those things. But then you remember fighting the Denoa, leading the band and being second in command. And that is what you kind of remember from your past. And then you start thinking this most recent encounter, this most recent 2 weeks. Your traveling tribe had stopped right outside one of the ruins, set up camp, and then that night circle showed up trying to take over your territory. That was not what was going to happen. So your leader, Borag, set up camp. He has went to war, and it's been pretty bloody. You've lost quite a bit of your compatriots. And now you start looking through this with Vaso's eyes. And, quote unquote, based on the roles that you've had, you remember the Oxen Tavern owner from Amberton. You remembered him, but then you also remembered him dying, falling to the hands of the Night Circle. You remember the farmer that owned the equipment shop, Ogar the Ugly. You remember him getting a spear in the chest and also perishing, turning into a dark shard. You think back to the two bullies of your childhood youth, Shagdub and Numhug. They just constantly terrorized you. And so you kind of don't feel as bad as you think you should when you remember that they're Dorma halves, the part of your tribe, Osop's tribe. They also fell in battle. You're trying to go through these two competing worlds. What is Vaso or Osop's mental state at right now?
I didn't want to spoil it in the introduction.
OMG.
I saw you leaning that way.
Yeah,
I was like, don't do it.
Yet. Don't do it. Don't do it.
These yet. Poor listeners. The fun part of tonight's episode is that the listeners know so much more than we do combined because They've listened to all the episodes and we have not. And I'll be really honest with you, I wasn't really paying attention because I was working on a couple of things.
I kept looking over and you're like writing stuff down.
I was not making your notes. I was literally thinking about what I was going to do later. And then I literally heard, what is Osof doing? What, are you one?
Yeah.
Did you touch?
So I would say Vaso is just confused and Like, I think he sort of expected this, you know, given Nomus's experience. But he's on like information overload right now.
I would say that it would make sense that Vaso would kind of be struck. And the reason is Vaso grew up on the farm in a very peaceful town of Amberton. Mm-hmm. However, from this little intro that I did, I referenced some of the people from your backstory. So yeah. For context, before we started this season, I basically assigned ranges to everybody in your backstory. Mm-hmm. And every time you rolled a number on that D100 scale was possibly somebody dying on that list.
Oh.
On top of what you guys kind of put together of if you matched any of the numbers, Osaf was also going to probably die. So you did a good job. You only matched once. but you didn't give me that many. I mean, you gave me a lot of people in your backstory, but not that many. But in the reality, we'll say that probably half of the orc population has perished in this fight against the Night Circle.
Okay.
So it's been a very stressful battle. And I don't think Vaso would have been used to seeing that type of combat and death, especially amongst the people that he would have recognized from his childhood.
Well, and I think he, you know, he saw people that weren't fighters or that weren't warrior type people.
And his, then like his memory, and
Ozov memory, like he sees those people dying, like on the other side. So, he's a little beat up right now.
Yep, and you're currently being, I mean, I want to say smothered because the tent's not going to be all that heavy, but you're currently in the middle of Borag's central command tent, but it has fallen over because when you had merged, it had blown out all of the support pillars. So you're kind of under this big canvas tent. Trying to wrestle with yourself. And then you hear Borag, "What happened? Get us out of this tent. Clean it up. The Night Circle might be attacking any moment. Get the prisoner back. Get him into the cells. We'll figure out what's going on." And then you start hearing shuffling around you as the tent starts to slide off of you. Like people are pulling it off. "What? Where'd the prisoner go? He was just here. He starts like going over to like ring a bell, like put the camp in lockdown.
Yeah, Vaso.
Vasova.
Do we need a name? Vaso. And what is it? Osaf?
It's just Vaso backwards.
Oh, great. Vazov.
Vaz.
Vaz.
We'll call you Palindrome.
Sorry, I don't want to distract you though.
Oso works.
He's just gonna, I don't know, he's just gonna kind of sit there for a minute.
Okay.
And, you know, he's just so, like, what's going on around him is not really paying attention to that. He's just mentally just thinking about those memories that he just saw.
Sounds good. Okay. We are going to allow the warning gong to be rang, and then you hear the response through around the camp. So, one rings and then the other one rings, so you hear a cacophony of alarms going off. Vimus, I need you to roll the initiative. Let Nick run Sylph. So you can roll initiative for Sylph.
Non-natural, 20.
7.
Enemy's got a 4.
Okay.
So at this point, they would not have attacked you yet, but you definitely see them unclip their clubs, and they start forming a half circle around you, trying to enclose Vimus and Soph in. I believe you said there was 4 of them at the end of last episode. One's wearing a blue sash, one's wearing an orange sash.
Cowabunga, dude. So I guess seeing them draw their weapons, and I would have seen the
blast. You would have heard the blast, seen the bells ringing, and then they would have became more aggressive. Now they know that there's something going on, the camp's being shut down. So what trust they had in you is eroded.
So I'm assuming you thought that was for me, even though I was standing here the entire time with you all.
You must be trying to do, what's that called? Insert attack?
Not to mention the person that was in the tent the whole time talking to your leader.
Yes.
And I was out here.
Your friends.
Standing with you.
Must be doing something inside and you must be coming in from the outside. We will be taking you under arrest at this point. Or we will kill you. Your choice.
Well, that doesn't sound like much of a choice. And I'm going to look at Soph and see if I can communicate.
You'll let you do hand signals because you don't have to speak with animals.
Right. I know.
So hand signals or grunts or something.
I'm going to give a quick, like a point to the tent, and I'm just dashing towards the tent with my feline agility.
It's a pretty small camp at this point, but I still think you'd probably be seven turns to get to the camp.
Seven turns?
I mean, that would be 350 feet.
Well, I didn't realize we were that far away.
So if you want to rephrase or do something different, or you can do it. I don't care. You just have to. It's going to be quite a ways to get to him for Gnomus. I think Soph would be able to fly there just fine.
Okay. In this take, I'm going to look at Soph and make a pointing motion towards the sky. And then I'm casting invisibility on myself.
Do you roll perception checks? Oh, great. It's wisdom based.
Wow.
I rolled it four times with disadvantage.
Yep.
4, 11, 0, and negative 1. So they have
negative 1. I feel like that should be a penalty.
They have no idea. I feel
like he's such in shock that he like.
I'm going to say the guy that got
just
negative.
Just gave himself a tension headache.
The guy that got negative 1 runs through the rift thinking that you somehow just dashed the rift and that's why he can't see you. So he's gone through the rift. So now there's only 3 ogres and you hear the other ogre just crashing around in Ivana looking for where you guys are at. And then that's what you're doing. Casting invisibility, you still have a bonus action and a movement.
So if I'm in combat, so I can double my movement speed with my feline agility.
Okay.
So I feel that's either that or a dash. Well, can I do that as 60 feet and then dash for another 60 feet?
I believe so. Since you're doing the feline ability, just lets you double your movement if you hadn't moved the turn before. And dash is just an action.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you can probably do
120 feet.
Yep.
Yep. And I'm heading towards the tent.
Yeah, with your invisibility, you're able to, in their horrible wisdom, you're able to sneak through. It's, guards aren't going to know to look for an invisible person. So
yeah.
You make it 3/7 of the way there.
3/7.
What is Soph doing?
Yeah, I was going to look for Soph to see if they went into the sky.
Did Soph understand the hand languages?
That is up to you to decide. Since you guys are running Soph and Vaso's been with Soph now for about a week. So I don't know what they've been working on between the party.
Okay.
So I'll let you decide if you want to play it how you want to.
Yeah, I think Soph would understand.
To fly?
Yeah. So Soph's just going to take off, flying up, and away.
Just kind of circling around?
Yeah. I mean, far enough away to where, you know, they can't like shoot arrows at
okay. them. Yeah, we'll definitely say that you'd have some spears thrown at Soph, some arrows thrown at Soph. So Soph gets the idea that trying to land might be dangerous, but you're out of range in the sky at this point. My enemies are, this is a really interesting combat because they have no idea where anybody is. So they're just walking around. We'll also talk about the camp at this point. So the camp is getting big pikes and setting up a defensive perimeter around the tent. But they don't see any enemies, so it's kind of a bit of confusion going on inside the camp because they don't know who's attacking, but for some reason the warning bells were alarmed. That brings us back up to Gnomus.
Yeah, I think I'm just still moving towards the tent because I know that's the last place that Basso was.
Okay, at this point you can get 2 more steps there because you don't have your feline agility this turn. So you're 5/7 of the way there. We'll say Soph is just continuing to fly around. Is that what Soph's doing?
Yep.
Enemies at this point, Borag will start shouting alarms that there's an orc, not part of our tribe. Little scrawny one. He's around here someplace. Try to find him. And then he walks over to the, we'll say quote unquote throne, but I'm picturing more like a rock that just gets placed in the tent. And behind it, he picks up a wooden bow staff, which is basically like a wooden walking stick. And Osav, when you see that, you automatically know, and now Vasa knows, that the leader of the tribe always carries this magical wooden walking stick. It's just completely indestructible. It allows the leader to stay up for as long as they want to. They don't need sleep. And it can't be damaged. Wait, Vasa knows of a couple of things that are wooden that can't be damaged, like a bow and arrow and a dagger. And Vaso would also know a crown is on that list also. So you would put together that the traveling orc tribe of Dorma is in possession of one of the Harbinger's weapons, which you would know is a key to something.
Ooh, fun. Yeah.
And then we'll do one more round because I assume you're just trying to get next to Vaso.
Yes, I'm trying to get as close as I can.
You would get to where the tent used to be. You'd see Borag's like belongings set up just in an empty space now because the tent was pulled off of them. And you see a orc that looks a lot like Vaso, but bigger, sitting, holding their head, rolling around still, trying to sort through all of the information that's rapidly getting passed through his brain. And Borag is, at this point, grabbed a wooden staff. So you'd see the wooden staff also. This action, you can get to Vaso if you want to, because you're still invisible. Nobody knows you're coming.
So yeah, I'm going to approach Vaso, becoming uninvisible. And then I'm going to cast dancing lights up in the sky so that Soph knows where I'm at.
Okay.
And then try to, well, I think Vimus is a little intrigued by Vaso at first. I think Gnomus is very sympathetic and wants to help. And the Vive part of me likes watching you writhe around in agony. But I'm trying to embrace my inner Gnomus, and I'm trying to, Vaso, are you there?
Who's that? Who's that?
It's Gnomus.
Gnomus.
You must have combined. You've changed, like I did.
Vimus or Gnomus? Why am I getting that confused?
I am both.
Why do I have all these memories? I'm confused.
You've merged, but we need to get out of here. They think we're with the Night Circle, unless you've got a way to convince them otherwise. And I don't think I can take on that massive guy with the big stick.
Yeah, I don't think I can do that either. Yeah, my other guy, he can't do that. Yeah, let's get out of here.
All right, and I'm going to try to help him up. And
who's that? Hey, guards, in here. And you'd start seeing some, well, first off, Borag's going to brandish his bow staff and start moving towards you. And you see some other guards that were making a perimeter turn around and start moving towards you.
You have that crown on your head. Does he still have the crown on his head?
You have the crown and haven't told him about
it. No. Of the flying.
Oh, the crown of flying? Yeah, he does have the crown of flying.
You have that tiara on your head.
I forgot about that.
You need to fly out of here.
Okay.
Do you remember how to do this?
All right.
Because we're not going to win this battle.
Okay. Yeah. So Vaso is going to try to fly. He's going to try to fly out of there.
Okay. So Vaso gets to fly out of there. And at the same time, kind of where Vaso was standing, a few seconds, maybe half second later, a great club comes whirling in to try to hit Gnomus. Does a 23 hit you?
Well, yeah.
Okay. You take 22 bludgeoning damage and roll a dex. Now let's do a strength check or a saving throw.
One.
Okay. You definitely get pushed back the full 15 feet as you get slammed into a traveling pack of some sort that was laid out on the ground.
Okay.
So you're knocked prone.
All right.
But luckily you got hit out of the way of the other enemies that were coming up behind you.
That's a good hit.
Since he hit you first.
So Vasta is going to see this.
Okay.
And he's going to turn around and he's going to go basically get in front of Gnomus and just yell at everybody, stand down.
You're going to land like superhero pose?
Yeah.
Like Black Widow.
Hair flip.
And I'm going to be like, Bosh, stand down.
What's the meaning of this, Osaf? Who is this?
He's not an enemy.
Why did he appear in camp then?
Because I invited him. He's my friend.
I've never seen him before.
He is our ally.
I got to roll a perception check real fast for Borag. Oh, he doesn't notice it. Okay. You say he's an ally of yours?
Yes.
So he'll help us fight?
Yes.
I can take
that. And same thing for the dragon.
And then he finally notices the dragon. Oh, my goodness. When did you get a dragon? Who is your friend? Is that your dragon?
It's a long story. But you have to trust me.
How can you be so helpful if he's so weak? He gives you a little, not impressed by how easy you were to throw across the tent.
Do I get the feeling that this guy's also pretty dumb?
Yes. You get the feeling that pretty much all of the orcs you've interacted with, and even when you were walking through the camp, when they were trying to get ready, I guess they'd be good at defending themselves, but all of your interactions you've put together is that they're not the highest of intelligence. Which is opposite of what you were experiencing in Ivana. So again, opposite worlds.
I think hearing that I was weak is now going to trigger the vibe part of me.
Okay.
And I'm going to cast Hypnotic Pattern in front of the big guy.
Okay, what do I need to do?
It is a wisdom saving throw.
5.
So he fails. He is now charmed by me.
Okay, so for the rest of these interactions, he's going to not be as confrontational or more trusting in your abilities, we'll say.
As while charmed by the spell, the creature is incapacitated and has a speed of 0.
Oh, and he's just standing there looking at the... Maybe he sees your dancing lights and just kind of gets pacified by that for... How long is the spell for?
Up to 1 minute.
Okay, for, we'll say maximum 1 minute, but somebody might interact with him beforehand because I think they could slap him out of it or something.
Well,
like that.
Before that, I'm taking the walking stick out of his hand.
You're going to try to take the walking stick out?
Well, I'm going to politely kind of say, let me hold that for you while you marvel at the lights.
Okay, I am going to do one more wisdom saving throw just at disadvantage because it is a... No. Okay, yep. You would not be in it enough that you'd be able to maybe pry his fingers up just enough to slide it out.
And I'm going to take it from him.
That's fine, except for you're still going to get attacked by orcs that were also on guard because they don't want you taking the captain's...
They weren't affected by my hypnotic pattern.
What's the spell for that one?
It's a twisting pattern of colors inside of a 30-foot cube within range. Each creature in the area who sees the pattern must make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay, so 3 of the guards are staring up, but then one of them, as you take the stick, you hear, hey, you need to earn that in combat, the right of migration. And you give that back.
I'm going to hit him with it.
All right, so we can do a little quick combat between this orc and Vimus. Go ahead.
16.
16 hits. They don't wear armor.
And then...
They're all barbarians.
I don't know what the damage is.
For your rapier?
No.
I took the bow staff.
I took that
it's
out.
It's a strength-based weapon. The damage on it for the master here was 3d8. So let's do...
Oh, it was strength-based? Mm-hmm. Okay. Then I wouldn't have hit. I would have had... I was adding my dexterity.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's a strength.
So it would have been 14.
14 still hits. We'll do 2d8 plus strength. I'm going to minus 1d8 because I think that's an ability boost for the
okay. Size. Well, my strength's minus 1, so 2d8 minus 1.
Works for me.
8, 12, 11.
I said, give it back. And he's going to try to attack you. Does a 20 hit you?
Yeah.
You take 10 bludgeoning damage.
Jeez. This isn't looking good for me.
Guys, he's trying to take the staff. And he's turning around trying to like...
Foster's going to yell at him and be like, stand down.
He hasn't earned the staff. He has to fight him for the right of migration.
Our leader is giving it to him.
That's not how this works. You know that. You've lost.
Are you questioning the leader?
I'm questioning why he'd be doing this. Something is going on.
You're going to be hanged for this, for disobeying your leader.
He's going to attack Nomus again. Does a 20 hit?
Oh, I didn't get a response.
You guys were talking.
No, he was talking. What are you doing? I didn't know it was my turn. I was going to cast invisibility on myself again.
Okay.
With the weapon.
All right. Roll a dexterity because he's going to try to hit you. He would have hit, but I'm going to let you try to roll the dex to get out of the way as you cast invisibility.
6.
So you're going to take, I'll half it because I skipped your turn because I was trying to speed us along. 5 bludgeoning damage, but that pushes you. You roll off to the side. And then you can cast your invisibility to...
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
I assume everything you're holding is also invisible, since I believe that's kind of how it's been working in the
Anything
past.
On the target is wearing or carrying is invisible as long as it's on the target's person.
Yep. I was wondering if the staff would become invisible or not.
Yeah.
You! Where did he go? You said he was your ally.
Yeah. And you're disobeying my order.
He just stole the staff of migration. That is not how this is done.
Who are you to order me around? I am your superior.
But you have to... It's our culture.
And Vasta's going to hold up his axe. Be like, question me again.
He's going to attack you because he doesn't know why you're not following the culture of
I'm
gonna, the
staff. I'm going to shoot up in the air.
Okay. He got an 8 to hit you anyway, so that would have missed. And then you shoot up in the air.
And then I'm going to start heading towards the rift.
They're going to be chasing after you. And by they, this one person, as the other 4 are still standing there, because that's only been 12 seconds.
Okay.
And they're not smart enough to wake each other up.
Soph's going to come in and do a breath fire on that one person.
On that one person?
Well, that's the only person chasing me, right?
Oh, okay. So Soph's going to wait till he gets out of every, because I was like, if Soph attacks now, she's going to deal damage to everybody in the wake up. But Soph's going to wait till he.
And I'm following Vasa.
Till he leaves. He's going to get slowed down, but he's not going to go down because he's still got enough health that even if he takes a fire breath, he's going to still be up. But he's going to be slow. So you're going to be able to outpace him if you want.
Okay.
You're just following?
I'm dashing, following Vaso with this important weapon.
Apparently. All right. We'll say you guys are able to safely make it to the rift. As you're flying, you're going to outpace everybody. They're kind of still confused at what the alarm was sounding for.
Yeah.
And you're invisible. You step out of the rift, and then you hear, Osaf, have you seen that Tabaxi? He gets... disappeared somewhere. He must have ran through the rift.
Yeah, no, he's back inside. I had to come out here for something. Go back in there and get him. He's back at the camp.
Oh, thank you, sir.
They sent me out here to get you, so I gotta go do something else too.
So we'll say at this point, Vimus, you're like invisibly walking. Just by the way, I step through the rift and this ogre just goes running through and you just step out of the way.
I'm nimble. I have the reflexes of a cat.
I'll say that you guys know that you have maybe two turns of time, so 12 to 15 seconds until the people that would have seen Soph and Osaf flying away would have been alerted that something is wrong. That's not Osaf. So you know you have about 15 seconds before people are going to come through that rift after you guys.
And without breaking invisibility, I'm going to say, I'm here. Let's go.
Okay. And Soph's on the other side too.
Soph's on the other side too.
Okay. I'm going to do a rift stitch.
Awesome. You're going to actually close the rift. Yep. Love it. All right. So I think it's probably a size of 2d6. So go ahead and roll 2d6 worth of damage to close the rift. He hasn't done a rift stitch in forever.
I know, right?
I forgot. I kind of forgot we could do it.
3 and 5. So all right. 8 damage.
And then the rift closes and you guys are on the other side.
That was solid, dude.
Yep.
That was awesome.
I'm almost dead, but it's pretty
not
solid.
Not what I was picturing at all. So love it.
Hey guys, it's Sam. Oh, we are almost done wrapping up season 4 and the entire storyline. We are so excited and thankful that you guys have been on this journey with us. We want to do a bit of a mailbag. If you have questions about the storyline, the world, the podcast, us as players, we would love to answer those for you as a little season finale. Regardless of where you are in the story, if you're starting with season 1 or if you're right with us at season 4, go ahead and send in your questions either on Instagram at CarriageRestTales D&D or shoot us an email at podcast@CarriageRestTales.com. As always, give us a 5-star review if you haven't done that yet on your favorite podcast platform. Share our podcast with a friend. We are so grateful for all of you as listeners. We cannot thank you enough. We are so excited that you've been on this journey with us, and we can't wait to wrap this story up. I hope you guys enjoy it.
All right, we are now find ourselves in the private altar of the head priestess of Sol'Pilar. Woods just had some magical stuff happen to her, and her mother is very confused and doesn't know how to comprehend everything. So she just drops down and starts praying to Sol'Pilar, particularly only Sol'Pilar, over and over and over again. And Woods, I think a part of you would start to feel quite frustrated that only one god is being prayed to over and over and over again.
So Woods has this new sense of pride and just kind of like cockiness, just overassurance. And it feels like there is just a mixture of things running through her veins, right? So like she feels Sol'Pilar, she feels Lucha, she feels the light, the dark, like she can feel it hanging off of her back, you would say.
Okay.
And she like kind of turns around and looks at her mother and smirks a bit. And she's going to walk up to her and say, do you think I deserve the Del Rey name now, mother?
You've been chosen by her. You've been chosen by the goddess. Of course. Of course.
No, I've been chosen by both. Because they're one.
You would.
They are me.
But it must be Sol'Pilar.
No, they are both. Sol'Pilar is Lucha. Lucha is Silphalor. They were ripped apart. The Harbinger of Creation did that. They have been reunited in me, and you will now pray to both.
I don't know any prayers to the goddess of darkness.
The Moon Maiden is fine.
Moon Maiden.
With light, there is dark. And the only way to have both is to have each other.
With light, there is dark. The only way to have both is together. And she's going to start just repeating that over and over again, thinking this is a prayer given to her directly by Silphalor.
It feels like it was. Things are going to change. And I'm going to need support. And as head priestess of the Delray Sanctuary, it'll be your duty to create that support within this community. You will now pray to Celine. This will now be the sanctuary of her.
Of Celine?
Of Celine.
And that's the goddess of light?
Celine is the goddess of light. Celine is the goddess of dark. Celine is me.
And she'll just get down to pray.
And Woods, seeing her mother on her knees, forehead to the ground, praying at her feet, has a new feeling. An absolute just...
What's this new feeling?
It's, I think, power.
Okay.
And she has confidence, and she's going to walk away. She's going to walk out of the... She's going to walk out of the temple, and she's going to pause at the big doors where there's the writing.
What does it say?
The writing on the outside door says under her rays.
That's when you're walking out.
Mm-hmm. And she's going to pause and stare at it and think to herself, under my rays. She's going to touch it, and then she's going to walk out.
You step outside into the city of Epicure. Life is moving around because it's midday at this point. But you notice that all the citizens are walking around more frantically. Like they're looking on the ground. They're patting their chests and their bodies down. You see somebody over by all the gardening tools and they're, have you seen my rake? I don't seem to see my rake anymore. And then like a guy walks out of the woods with a sharpening stone, goes up to his, where's my axe? I could have swore I left my axe here.
They're missing the shinies.
Yeah. Where's my coin purse? I swear.
Woods is going to just like chuckle and just like shake her head and just say like, oh, Soph. She's going to head to the tent that Vaso was at.
You make your way down south and you notice before you even get to the tent that Vimus is no longer on guard outside the tent.
I'm just going to kind of walk in with this just again, arrogance and just fling open the side and Vaso. Vimus.
You step inside and you see the beds unmade. You see that there's nobody there. His pack's missing. And on the floor, you see that there is a broken picture frame of Vaso's dad. And I think it was Vaso's dad's friends that you remember giving to Vaso the day before to help him keep in touch with who he was.
I'm going to pick it up. And this to me is a signal that they've just left. He kind of made a big deal about that picture frame when I first took it from the house forever long ago. So I'm going to throw that in my bag and try to remember where they were headed.
You don't have to roll a history check for it. You would know that they were heading to Kamachi. You wouldn't have to roll a history check because Woods would definitely know where Kamachi is because it was a quarter day ride from her hometown.
Okay.
So that would have been like the big city you would go to.
Okay. She's going to kind of walk towards that way.
Sorry, just remembered. Did you decide how your character's going to look?
I did. Did you want
to? Are people going to be noticing or not noticing?
Probably.
Noticing. Okay, no, that's what I want to know. Okay. So as you're walking through the town, you would also notice that people are looking for stuff, obviously. But then as soon as they see you, they turn around and kneel down and start praying.
I'm going to just continue walking with my head held high and just graciously allowing them to do it. And honestly, like it feels like it's expected, which there's a small part of her that's unsure where that feeling's coming from, but it feels right. Like, it feels expected. It doesn't feel out of the ordinary. She's not even questioning it as she just continues on her way.
Okay. You're just going to walk to Kamachi? Like, which direction are you? You said you were walking.
Yeah,
I just didn't know.
Yeah, I'm going to head to Kamachi and right on the edge of the city. I'm going to kind of turn around and just look back at the town, the village of Apicure, and kind of take it all in for what it is, because I have this feeling that it's not going to stay this way, that it was safe because Sopalor was protecting it, or something was protecting it, but she just knows moving forward, everything's going to change.
Okay.
So just taking kind of one last look at what her hometown was, and then she is going to shoot up in the air and fly to Kamachi.
You get about 2.5 to 3 hours into your travel, and then out of the corner of your eye, you see a, for the lack of a better word, a big firework go off. And then you feel a concussion of the boom, and you know that that was about 200 feet away from you.
Okay.
And you're close to Kamachi. You can see Kamachi in the distance. You can see that it doesn't look as busy as you're used to it seeing.
But okay.
It's nothing like on fire or anything. It just, you remember the city being more lively.
Okay.
And then this firework goes off fairly close to you.
I'm going to head that way, but I'm going to change shape and I am going to turn into just a regular eagle.
So you turn into a regular eagle and then you're flying towards the, yeah, where the firework was?
Yeah, and I just want to have really good perception and investigation as to kind of what's happening below. And I'm specifically looking for Vimus and Vaso to see, or Soph, to see if this is them, maybe in trouble or something like that.
As you are looking, you don't necessarily see Vimus or Soph even, but what you do see is some people moving through the woods. They're wearing dark clothing and climbing up into the trees, really scanning the horizon. And from your aerial view, you can see that they are moving in sequence with each other. So one will post up, get a lookout point, and the other one will move up to another spot, get a lookout point, another one will move up. And they're making a sweeping pattern left to right.
So definitely some sort of scout.
With your military background from the Order of Light, as brief as it was, you would put together that they are scouting, but also appear to be searching for something.
Okay. I'm not going to engage.
You keep flying around, maybe watching him for about a minute or 2 minutes. And then you see, go down a little bit further, you see some orcs moving kind of the same pattern. They're not as graceful though. They're more spread out and just walking like you would a search line. And then eventually the two meet with each other and you start seeing a combat occur between these orcs and these three, let's call them elves.
Okay.
And they're battling each other. And what you can tell, it's going to be to the death in the field below you.
Woods in her eagle form is going to post up on a branch kind of above and watch. I want to see who becomes victor of this.
They are fighting and fighting and fighting. And one of the orcs die. One of the elves die. The battle looks to be getting near a conclusion that the orcs are probably going to be victorious. And you see each of the elves pull something out of their satchels, bite down on it, and disappear into what you know would have been a phase round.
Okay.
And the orcs, you hear them say, typical cowards, running instead of dying. And then they start walking back towards the direction they came from.
Can I just, want to pace them. So I want to stay up in the air and just kind of follow the orcs.
They eventually will get to a rift. A pretty small rift that's hidden in the woods. And then they pass through it. And you're kind of just left in the trees looking at a rift.
Well, that was eventful. I'm going to swoop down to the ground level.
Still in your eagle form?
No, I'm going to come out of my eagle form as I hit the ground. And I want to roll investigation.
What are you trying to investigate?
I want to look, maybe it's survival for tracking of maybe Soph or Vaso or, you know, the dragon. Soph has a pretty distinct. That's it. Pretty
distinct.
Oh, am I having a stroke?
Distinct. Distinct.
Sophie has a pretty
distinct.
Distinct. Unique. I'll pull out my thesaurus.
Sophie has a very unique tail swag.
Yep.
So I'm going to look for that. I got an 18.
You, with an 18, I'm going to say it still takes you a couple of minutes to find what you're looking for. But you definitely end up finding through like a soft patch, a tail swag that you know is Soph's. And it's leading towards that rift. But before you get to the rift, you're putting together the mental image when all of a sudden a orc comes running out of the rift. Ah, where'd you go? Where'd you go, Tabaxi? I'm going to find you. For context, it's the
dumb orc. Comes running out of this rift?
Yes, and he's looking around, but he hasn't seen you because you're far enough away he hasn't spotted you in the woods. And he's.
I hear Tabaxi. Can I jump through that? Is the rift still open?
The rift is still open, but he's like right in front of it. Now, is she going to make my life easy or is she going to make my life hard? It's the question. Because you know what should happen over the next 2 minutes. If you were listening to the first half of this episode.
Guys, I wasn't listening.
You're not in the rift.
You're not in the rift. So don't go in the rift.
Don't go in the rift.
Okay, let's edit all that out. I go into the rift. I turn into a squirrel and I go into the rift. Okay.
Because he came out looking for me. Or a Tabaxi.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. I thought it was... I heard somebody fly into a rift. Okay, we're fine. Okay. So the... word Tabaxi, I'm going to like perk up a bit and I'm going to stealthily follow him.
Okay. So go ahead and roll stealth.
12.
You got a 5.
Oh, good.
So he's busy looking for Tabaxi near him because he thinks he literally just stepped into the rift. So he's definitely looking all around like in a 5-foot proximity from him. Maybe he like walks around to the other side of the rift to see if he did the old run around it real fast. So he doesn't see you observing him.
Okay. I'm going to turn back and... I'm just going to shoot up into the sky. I want to get an aerial view and see if I can find Vimus.
And I did have you forget to do this earlier. Will you roll a d4?
2.
And then lower your maximum HP by 2.
We did that last episode.
I know we did.
Oh. We're going to continue.
Possibly.
Math is hard.
All right. So you fly up into the sky, and then I imagine fly to the top of a tree or something like that, or are you flying in the actual sky?
I'm going to just fly around looking for, I'm trying to track these guys, see if I can find them.
Are you staying in this vicinity or?
I am going to use my survival instinct and see where I go. Am I seeing any? I don't know. What do I see? Am I seeing tracks or do I see anything running through the... Do I see any essence of cat? I'd like to know.
No, you don't see any...
What a lot of toys.
Tabaxi.
Like a string. Is there like just a string, somewhere?
Some feathers flying in the air.
Maybe a little bell.
That's really what a laser ogres. Pointer.
Yeah.
That's what the orcs really do. And then you see them like throw a string up.
A food bowl that's half full because you know they're not going to go for that because they think they're starving.
You know,
No, you do
flipped
not.
Flipped over bowl of milk.
You do not see a Tabaxi running through the woods. You just see a orc looking around the vicinity of this rift.
All right, I'm going to go to Kamachi.
Okay. As you are working your way towards Kamachi, you hear Vaso's voice.
Yeah, the Tabaxi, he's back at the camp. You got to go back through. I gotta go do something else, but they sent me out here to get you.
So you hear Vasa's voice just when you're just about out of earshot.
Perfect. I'm gonna flip back around to that and dive down towards him.
Yep. As you're diving down towards him, you see that Vaso, for the first time in a very long time, is casting a Rift Stitch to close a rift behind him.
I'm gonna land behind him and the rift, and I'm just gonna start like a slow clap.
Nice.
It's about time you actually close a rift.
Boss is going to turn around.
What do they see?
So when you turn around, you see Woods as you know her. However, adorned on her back are two gigantic wings. One on her right side is pitch black, like darkness. But at the same time, there's this iridescent-y kind of pearl when I move. It almost mimics the moon. On my left side is a brilliantly bright white wing, equal in size, equal in length. And from the tip of my shoulder all the way down my arm is a tattoo of sunbeams and sun rays that looks like it's glowing somehow, and you can't quite figure that out. One eye, my left eye, is completely different color from my right. So my right eye is dark, almost like black, where my right has this ring of bright yellow in it.
Oh, look at you. You turned into a little bird.
Well, a little bit more than a bird. Most people that see me bow down.
Oh, that's cool. Well, they're not going to bow down.
It seems not.
It's fine.
What is Vimus doing in this case? Are you still invisible?
I am.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even see you.
Well,
Vaso,
Soph is there, but Vimus is invisible still because he didn't come out of it.
Well, we're just going to see a much bigger Vaso.
So you finally took my suggestion and started upping your protein intake. Wow.
Oh, I'm going to
reach out and like grab your... Wow. Looks like you actually hit the gym.
I'm already taken.
Oh. Yeah. Don't worry.
Like, no, I combined with my guy.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
You merged.
I merged.
And for a second, like, that kind of like knocks her back into Woods. How did it go? Because, I mean, Gnomus's didn't go well, and you look fine.
Well, yeah, I just had to escape from the guys over there, from the tribe. Yeah, they're trying to kill me and Gnomus. Hey, Gnomus, you nearby?
Let's not forget that she tried to kill you the last time we were around.
Oh, I know. I got my eye on her.
That wasn't me. Well, technically it is me now, but
sounds
it wasn't
like an
me
excuse.
Then. It wasn't me, but we've sorted all of that out. But I guess it doesn't matter now because you're merged.
Well, you're trying to kill me or Ozoff.
It wasn't me. It was Lucha. And I was actively stopping Lucha from killing you by having me kill you.
So where's Lucha now?
Funny story. I am Lucha.
Oh. See, this whole time.
So you were trying to kill me.
This whole time, and she's been trying to kill you, and she looks no different.
I'm also Sopalor. Probably should fill you in on a few things. So do you guys remember the dream that I had of the Harbinger of Creation killing Sopalor?
I don't think you ever discussed that with him.
Oh, dang it.
No, I mean, this is fine. If no, Woods would say that, and then you guys would be like, what the hell are you talking about?
I had this
withholding
dream.
Withholding secrets again.
You, since you came here, have done nothing.
I'm invisible. You don't even know where I'm at.
I can hear you. Can't I?
I'm just saying. I'm about moving around, though.
That's fine.
I see you're just staring at a tree. You're like over someplace else.
You, since you've been here, talking into the air, have done nothing but drive a stake between the two of us. So truly, Vive, what is your end game? Because
my end game was to save Vaso when you attacked him.
Did you save Vaso?
He's still alive, isn't he?
He's still alive when he left me.
And the only way to ensure his survival was for him to merge, which I thought was our plan, but then you turned on him.
I did not turn on him.
You did because I saw you attack him.
No.
And you nearly killed me in the process.
You saw the goddess Lucha overtake my mortal body. That was not me. That was not Woods.
But you just said you're Lucha.
Yeah, you just said you are one now.
We are now one.
So what? How do we trust you? It's like when I saw you with the professor way back when, which I never got.
What are you talking about?
I saw you with the professor inside those holding cells when we were still in the order.
You saw me. Before you saw Woods.
With the professor.
With the professor.
Looking at the person from Ivana and Dorma. As one died, the other did. And
yeah,
you
I was
sat
trying
there and
to
watched.
Stop it. And I was screaming. Did you not hear me? Did you not hear me beg for them to stop it and do something?
Oh, I saw what I saw.
Oh, so you only use one sense instead of common sense?
Sight's pretty common.
But you didn't feel like you'd listen or even ask me about it? You've held
all
on
to
this?
All I know is you got ties to the professor. You tried to kill Vaso.
What are
and
your
now
ties,
you're a goddess.
Vive? You have ties to the professor as well.
I think I've proven myself by trying to save Vaso.
I think I've proven myself by not killing Vaso.
You did try to kill Vaso.
Did he die? No,
because I got him out of there.
And I have news for you. If I wasn't internally trying to stop Lucha, you both would be dead. So you're welcome.
I want to pop out of invisibility. You're right. I have no ties to this. And I want to hand you the staff, and I'm just going to walk away.
Where are you walking towards?
Away from them.
Just away for now?
Away.
Great.
So for the time being, Nomis is walking off into the woods. You are the Vaso, you are the proud owner of the Bow Staff of Migration. But you also, Osav knows you didn't earn it in combat. So you can decide how you want to feel about that one.
What is this?
It's a wooden bow staff. It's one of the Harbinger's weapons.
Great. And we're going to use that to kill the Harbinger of Creation?
I guess so.
That's my plan. I have the bow of Salim. We need to go fell that pillar.
So when you start thinking about that, you put together that the bow staff, the wooden bow staff, is going to also be a key to fell one of the pillars.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do I know which one, or does it matter which pillar?
It wouldn't matter what pillar, and you're not sure which pillar it is, but you know it is a key to one of them. But you're not sure
which one.
Which one, because the people of Ivana wouldn't know that information. The Night Circle would know that information, probably. But your one agent that was with the Night Circle was upset and didn't quite bring that up before passing off and leaving.
Was he the one that kept attacking?
I mean, that's Vive. Vive would know what it goes to, but he never shared that information.
Yep. Okay.
Well, we need, this is how I see it. In order for us to have any sorts of a semblance of this world, we need to end the spell. And we do that by killing the Harbinger of Creation. And we weaken him by destroying these pillars that they have created in his name. Are you going to go get your friend?
Yeah.
And convince him?
I can't let him. I can't leave him behind.
I don't know what his deal is. He acts like he hasn't done a single thing that has crossed a line or that has been a little gray.
You did kind of try to kill me.
I didn't kill you. I stopped.
I said you did try.
No, my mortal body was overtaken by a goddess that was pissed off because I wasn't listening to her.
Can you just admit that you did try?
I body did. You weren't in my head. You literally, I was praying to Sol Pelor to have her come to help me stop Lucha from killing you. But you don't believe me.
I'm just saying, look what I saw. You tried to kill me.
It was
pretty scary.
I will tell you this right now. And she's going to fluff her wings a bit. If I wanted you dead, if Woods wanted you dead, you would be dead. Simple as that.
Okie dokie. I'll go talk to my friend.
Go talk to your friend.
I'm going to head towards where Fire Mist was heading.
I assume he'd be able to find you because he didn't say anything about stealthing or anything to you.
No, I'm just walking away.
Okay, yeah. If you were stealthing, it'd be difficult to find you.
Are you stomping away?
No. With my cat-like grace, I don't stomp.
Pouncing.
What do you want to do, buddy?
I mean, she has a point. I don't know what my skin in the game is. I've tried to save you. I got the staff at my almost death, thinking that would help our cause, but...
Well, I appreciate it.
I know you do, but...
You would remember that Vive's ultimate goal with the professor was to finish the spell. Now, that might have been changed with his interactions with Nomis, but just to remind you of what the original plans were of Vive.
That's opposite of what Woods is trying to do.
From what you remember last, Woods was very conflicted on if they should end the spell or not end the spell. And in all the interactions since then, I don't think she's brought it up which way she stands now.
Because I think Nomis is even more conflicted because he did watch something take over Woods and tried to kill Vaso. And tried to save Vaso, got you out of there. We had a plan. I tried to get the staff. And then Woods re-shows up as a goddess. Almost a version of what she looked like before when she tried to kill you. I don't know what's different now that you've merged, if her agenda has changed. But then I watch you talk to her as if it's no big deal. And that's the part Nomis, now with the part of Vive, can't shake. His inner Vive is saying, what am I doing here? What use am I bringing you all?
Well, what do you want to end the spell, or what's your take on that?
The Vive part of me does. I think Gnomus is unsure. Gnomus doesn't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't know either. I don't know what the overall result of that's going to be. Is it going to cause chaos in this world or what?
I think it will, because that's what Vive wanted. Okay. So and part of me is inclined to listen to him. Okay. I feel like I trust him more than others at this point.
You trust Vive more?
Because I am Vive.
I trust me.
I trust myself.
Yeah.
I definitely trust him more than a person who tried to kill you and is now two goddesses. If she turns on us as a goddess, what are we going to do about it?
Not much. Not much we can do. Maybe try to escape, but how many times can we escape?
Well, we've tried it once, so. Where would Vive think the professor is at?
I guess Vive would think he's in one of two spots, either at the Iron Mist, which is an unknown to Vive right now where it's at, or at Black Bay Harbor playing the role of Damien. Vive would also remember that the Night Circle in the immediate vicinity is being led by Corgan. It would probably be in touch with headquarters. So Corgan would probably know where the Iron Mist is. So okay. You have a way of kind of learning where it is, but you would have to maybe dive into the world of the Night Circle again, which I don't know where Gnomus Vive is at with that idea.
Okay.
But I think that's all the information that you would know right now.
So how about this? We originally set out here to find my dad. Will you?
It all comes full circle.
When you said Iron Mist, I was like, remember? Oh crap, I got to find my dad.
This makes sense. You just merged. Yeah. It's hard to remember things.
How about this? How about we go find my dad?
Okay.
Think about what to do.
So I think when you say that, that would resonate more with Gnomus, as your dad was instrumental in rescuing me. I think I would know that much.
Yes.
So yes, I owe it to you and your dad to find him. Okay. And that is going to be my only mission right now.
All right. Sounds good.
If you trust Woods, that's your decision.
All right. I'm going to walk back to Woods.
Oh, hold on. I think I got one charge of cure wounds because I'm hurting.
You can heal yourself first.
I am actually, I see you trying to do that and I'm going to approach you guys.
I don't know how far away they were.
But I would assume not very.
Okay.
Well, boys, what did we decide?
Okay. Here's the deal. I need you to earn your trust. I need you to earn my trust back.
At you saying that, she's going to reach out, and if you will let me, she's going to do healing touch on you and you'll get all your hit points. You'll get
not him.
I know. I understand that, but I'm going to do it to both of you. So you get 20 hit points back from both of you.
Each get 20 hit points back?
Mm-hmm.
Is that your goddess ability?
Mhm. I get 3 times a day.
Okay. Can you roll 2d4 for me?
Picked up on it. 3.
3. Okay. You take 3 to your maximum hit points.
I'm not going to hurt either of you. The conflict internally that I was having and I have been having between Lucha and Sol'Pellor and myself has been resolved.
All right. Well, you're going to prove it to me by helping me go find my dad. That's
sure.
Priority number one right now. The spell thing, we're putting that in the back burner for now.
She's going to chuckle a little bit.
The world can be fine. Like, they'll survive.
Sure. Listen, my goal is to kill the Harbinger of Creation and to end the spell.
Okay. But
finding your dad.
First, we got to find my dad.
Absolutely. If he's in to join the cause, great. If he's not, I'll move on my own way.
All right.
I feel like that confirmed a lot. Where are we headed?
Don't we think he's at the Iron Mist?
Well, we need to head towards Karhang to find Corgan.
So right now, Corgan would probably be half a mile from your location because you guys are at the front lines of Corgan, the Night Circle versus Osav and the Orcs. So you don't need to go to Karhang because you need to go to Kamachi, which where you're at. So you just need to, instead of going to where the Orc camp was, you need to go to the Night Circle camp. Does that make sense?
I think Vi would know how to do the silent thieves' cant to summon the Night Circle assassins.
Yes, you would. They lost you with the whole teleportation stuff, but you would know the thieves can't to leave a sign for the scouts that you know are out and about.
I can try to distance myself from you all to head back to the night circle to figure out where the Iron Mist is. But I don't think they're going to believe me being around you two.
Are the wings a bit much?
As this story pulls on your soul, in the end, we hope it is full.
Hey guys, it's Mike, your host and Dungeon Master at Carriage Rest Tales. I just want to say thanks for taking the time to listen to our podcast. It really means a lot to us. If you are enjoying the content and you haven't already, please give us a 5-star review. It's really going to help us grow our listenership and be able to reach more people. I also want to give a special thanks to Tabletop Audio for providing the background music for today's episode.